Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers, and they will turn their eyes away from the truth and turn aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today, Lord, that you give us the message that you intend. Lord, might you touch hearts. Might you use these words in whatever manner that your Holy Spirit distributes them, that everyone here may be a hearer and a doer of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was turning back the clock in the kitchen and thinking about this morning's sermon, I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could just turn the clock back? I mean, what if you could turn it back 50 years? I graduated 50 years ago. What if you could turn it back 43 years? It's the time I was in the Navy. I remember going over to my grandpa's house when I was just a little boy, and they would talk about the good old days. My granddad did not have indoor plumbing until I was 9. But I liked hearing stories about the good old days in times past. And they'd talk about going out along the railroad track, and he said, Bobby, he said, you know why the Lord allowed railroads to come through towns? I said, no, I didn't know the Lord. I mean, he had to allow it, but why? He said, so poor people could have coal. Because he'd go out along the railroad track when his family was small, and they'd pick up the coal that fell off the coal trains, and they would use that for fuel in the wintertime. My mama said back in the good old days when she got sick, she got an orange, and Grandpa and Grandma would lay hands on her and pray for her. She lived to be 80-some years old. The good old days. Dad said where they'd gather around the radio and listen to the boxing matches. He said there was one radio on our block, and the man set it outside, so all of it, and he turned it up. And Joe Louis was fighting Smelling, and he said, I still remember the punches. The good old days. The good old days where you didn't need a contract, all you needed was a handshake. The good old days when I was a kid and we lived in a small town and we didn't have air conditioning, but we had screen doors. And the screen door it was a wooden screen door, and it only had one little hook on it. And we didn't hook it, and we went to bed at night. The good old days where you could take your boat down to the river and leave it filled with fishing poles and your little motor and your little battery, and just pull it up on the bank and not worry about anyone stealing it. What have we lost over the years? And where did the good old days go? Now, not all of them were good. My dad told me about World War II and the thousands of people that got killed. And my granddad told me about World War I. And my uncles told me about the Korean War. They weren't all good. I mean, I got so excited when Grandma and Grandpa got indoor plumbing because they were my babysitter. It made a big difference. He wouldn't put hot water in because it cost too much to heat the water. So when he put indoor plumbing in, he only put cold water in. I remember Grandma being so excited and telling what they did before they had Ringer wash machines in the good old days. As I look back from one generation to the next generation to the next generation, I kind of believe I know what we're missing. There's a song that the Judge put out several years ago. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. Sometimes it feels like the world's gone crazy, Grandpa. Take me back to yesterday when the lines between right and wrong didn't seem so hazy. Lovers really fell in love to stay. Stand beside each other, come what may. A promise really was something people kept, not just something that they would say, then forget. Daddy never really goes away. Grandpa, take me back to the good old days. Everything is changing fast. We call it progress. But I just don't know. And Grandpa, let's wander back into the past, then paint me the picture of long ago. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. I think whoever authored that song maybe had a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. Because what we are missing today is what we're missing in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 was preached at my ordination service, and there were several ministers there, and they just kind of tore it apart. And the key to ministry is truth. The key to society is truth. And we live in a day-to-day where truth has no place. We don't believe in absolute truth. Truth is no longer objective, but subjective. And our kids growing up believe there's no such thing as absolute truth. And when you say there is no absolute truth, you're calling Jesus Christ a liar. We tune in on TV, we listen to the radio, we listen to our music, we go to movie theaters, and everything is just a situation according to what ethics we possess. And we believe. If you have a good enough excuse, you can get away with murder. And drunkenness has been used as an excuse to do just that. But there is an absolute truth. The Bible says this, and let me give you some scripture. John 1:14, and we'll just go through the book of John. There's more than 110 references to truth in the Bible, absolute truth. I'm just going to go through a few in John. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and was beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 4:23, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You've got to understand that there is an absolute God that created us, that saves us, that sees us through life, and prepares a home for us in glory. And what he says is fact. It's not debatable. Where the Bible is clear, I have no opinion. But a time has come where people will have itching ears and they'll go to this congregation or that congregation that approves of their sin. Well, I'm uncomfortable with this. I'm sorry, but I didn't write it. John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And that's the way to the cross. That's the truth in Jesus Christ. And that's the life in which he implants in us through the power of his Holy Spirit. John 14, 26, but when the Helper comes, when I shall send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. That Spirit will give you the truth. You will seek the truth. You will yield to the truth because the Holy Spirit will tell you you have no choice. And if you think you still have a choice over the truth and not truth, then you need to get on your knees and get a hold of God so you know the difference. John 16, 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatsoever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. No, the Holy Spirit will not speak of his own authority. He'll speak the truth of Jesus Christ, your Savior, that has saved you and will take you to heaven. The Bible says in John 17, 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Get in the Bible. Understand the Bible. We're raising a generation of confused people about what truth is. They don't know which way to go. They're confused because they do not understand what absolute truth is. Our children are bombarded with mixed messages of what is right and what is wrong from TV, from their music, from the theaters. And they think this is okay and that's okay and it's not any big thing because of the way their kids or their friends are talking or their teachers are talking or what they've seen in their favorite TV show or their favorite music they've heard. But sin is sin no matter when you do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells about love and what true love is. We need to warn our children about the permanency of marriage. We need to tell our children, my dad told me, he said, remember, anybody you date, you need to be willing to marry or don't date them. Well, that made you study somebody a long time before you ask them out. A promise isn't something you just say to get by, but a promise is something that you keep. Christians keep their word. Colossians 3, 8 and 9. But now you yourselves are to put off all things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Be truthful. Mark 5 tells of a story where Jesus was walking through a crowd and somebody touched the hem of his garment. And he said, who touched me? And his disciples said, everybody's touching you. He said, no, but I felt something come out of me. And a lady turned and the Bible says she told him the truth. She said it was her because she sought him in truth. She sought him by faith. And he says, your faith has made you whole. She was different than anyone else that was touching him. You think that you come in contact with God, that you're everything's okay? You come in contact with God, you better be right with God for things to be okay. We'd see more healing at this altar. We'd see more people raised up. We'd see more relationships fixed if we came to Jesus in truth. Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Whatsoever is more than these is from the evil one. Be willing to make a decision. How many times do we just get by when we're at school or we're at work just by going along with the crowd? How many times do we get tied into a negative conversation and lead someone to believe that we're standing with them when there's no way we would stand with them? How many times do we allow someone to be critical of a friend or a church or something and not speak up? I'll tell you something right now. Heritage Church is the best thing ever happened to me and my wife, my kids, and my grandkids, and now my great-grandkids. Heritage Church is the best thing, isn't it, Jet? Jet's my grandson. You know what he said a couple weeks ago? He said, "I was here, you didn't talk about me." Takes after the Quig side, evidently. And it's the best thing that ever happened to you. One of the things that I've tried to do when I counsel in marriage is tell the truth. I heard from the time that I was a young man, a young preacher, it takes two to tangle. No, it doesn't. I'm sorry, all it takes is one evil one. Jesus did nothing wrong, and he tangled with a whole bunch of guys, and they hung him on the cross, and Jesus was perfect. All it takes is one evil spirit to tear up a relationship between friends. All it takes is one evil spirit to tear up a relationship between a marriage. All it takes is one evil spirit to tear up relationships between children and father and mother. And that can come on any of us anytime, so we must be willing to not only forgive, but ask forgiveness. The good old days, we believed in truth. The good old days, we believed the Bible was true. The good old days, preachers preached the Bible, which is true. The good old days, family prayed to a God that they believed in. They bowed their heads before they ate. You say, "Preacher, did you bow your head before you ate every time at home?" No, we didn't. Neither do a lot of you. Some of you do, and I think it's a good thing. But we did every time we sat down as a family together. I don't always bow my head and pray before I eat. Sometimes I don't want to be a spectacle. Certain places. And you say, "What does that mean?" I don't know what it means, but sometimes the Lord knows that I'm in contact with him all the time. I just mean I don't want it to be self-righteous like the man that stood on the corner and said, "Oh God, I don't want to be like these other people." Prayer is not a self-righteous thing. Prayer is a prayer that is in truth between you and your God. Jesus said in Matthew 12, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." That's pretty tough, especially when he knows the truth about us. Let's get back to the good old days. Let's get back to where Christians actually believe the Bible. And if they think it isn't clear, they study it not to get their own position right, but to have God get their position right. That we're willing to change what we think for what we know and what we see. Know the truth. And I'll tell you something about this book. When you start reading it, even the Proverbs, that Holy Spirit takes a hold of you and says, "You need to change." I'd like to tell you that 68 years old with more than 50 years in this book still changes me. Still changes me. I still see things. When I see them, I try to come to you and share them with you so that you can see them too. I don't run out of sermons. I run out of people to preach them to. So I put them up on Facebook. I could preach every day. I do. Ask my wife. Every hour. because the truth is where we need to stand. Then we will demand the truth from those that we're listening to. We'll demand to hear the sides, not just take the side of our friends or our group or our relatives. We'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let us stand. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this day that your Spirit of truth indwell each and every one that's in this building. That we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever you want, I'll do. Whatever you want me to believe that you show me, I will. Because I believe in eternity. I believe that you created us, and I believe that you went to prepare a place for us that's called heaven. I believe that we'll see our loved ones again. So, Lord, even in this short period of time that we have upon this earth, help us to prepare everyone for that new home that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.